May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So one night this week at dinner, I was commenting on the juxtaposition of these songs of praise and thanksgiving and Paul's exhortation to rejoice in the Lord always, and John's, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to escape from the coming retribution?" And yes, if you're wondering, if there's a priest in your family, these are actually the kinds of conversations you have at dinner time. But I was talking about the fact that I was having a very hard time figuring out what on earth I was going to say with those two very competing moods in our lectionary this week. The tension between the songs of joy and the pink candle of joy being lit, and then John the Baptist scowling and cranky and warning of retribution and disaster. And I really had no idea what to do with it. And my daughter looked at me and she said, "Mom, what you should tell them is that, yes, we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always, but sometimes that's really, really hard. Sometimes we just can't seem to do it because sometimes things are so scary and there are so many people with different ideas and there are so many frightening things happening in the world and we just don't have any rejoicing in our hearts. And sometimes it's so scary. Sure, we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always, but we can't always do that. And you should tell them that." You know what? First off, I'm really proud of my daughter, because she's amazing. But you know what? She's right, isn't she? That's one of the challenges of this third Sunday of Advent reading, is that sometimes it's hard to rejoice. Sometimes, especially if you get to this point and we're looking ahead to Christmas and realizing that it's around the corner and we haven't finished everything we're going to do, and we look out at the world and there's all of these things going wrong, it is really hard to offer a song of thanksgiving and praise. It is hard to feel joy in our hearts with all of the other things that might be going on in our lives. But you know, the folks that Zephaniah and Isaiah were speaking to when they wrote those beautiful, wonderful, encouraging songs of thanksgiving, those beautiful words of praise and joy, were not exactly living in clover. They were living in a nation that was this little tiny nation stuck between great empires. In the north, first the Assyrians and then the Babylonians, and to the south, the Egyptians. And they lived in a world where at any moment an army might come over the hill, burn their town to the ground, and carry off the inhabitants to be slaves. They were never sure whether they would be able to maintain the kingdom that they had been given by God. And they were constantly struggling with that fear and just the ordinary fears of life in a world where one season without enough rain might mean starvation. They were not people who found it easy to rejoice all the time or to sing songs of thanksgiving. And both Zephaniah and Isaiah, in the chapters before we get to this beautiful musical thanksgiving and praise, they deserve that. It's oracles of judgment on them that all that they're suffering is because they have not been faithful to God, that they have failed to live up to the covenant, that in fact all of their fears and suffering, well, they deserve those. I doubt they found it easy to sing songs of joy either. So it makes that tension between Paul's rejoice in the Lord always and John's call of judgment in that same context. But you know, I think all of these, the problem is, if we hear the songs of praise, the calls to offer thanksgiving, the command to rejoice in the Lord always, as instructions about how we are supposed to feel, this is really discouraging. Because if faced with all of the things that we face in the world and in our lives, if we listen to the words of the prophets, we are not going to feel much like rejoicing. And then we're going to feel like failures. But I don't think any of these are instructions about how we are supposed to feel. I think these are words not of command, but of promise. They are a promise from the prophet and the apostle and the Baptist that even when things appear to be terrible, even when we face great suffering, even when the world is falling apart, even when we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, even when we perhaps deserve what we are experiencing, God has not given up on us. God still loves us and is still working in the world to redeem us. God is still calling us home, even when we are in exile and afraid. Even when the world's dangers roll over us, God has not abandoned us. God is still working, as God always works in the world and in human history, to redeem all of creation. God is still sending up those wells of salvation, and we will be invited to drink from them. And there is deep and profound hope in that. That no matter what, we have reason to rejoice, because everything that we are up against is not the last word. That God still loves us, still calls us his people, still asks us to come home to him. That God will not give up on us. And we will have reason to sing songs of thanksgiving. We will have moments when our hearts rise in praise and we can sing with such joy. Because God is still moving and is still part of our world, and God has not given up on us. Even when we struggle, we still have reason for rejoicing, because God loves us and God is still calling us home. And so, even in the midst of what's wrong, we can find the beginnings of the hope that allows us to rejoice. And with that hope, we keep on keeping on. It turns out all we are asked to do in that space is to continue living as though that hope was leading us somewhere. We are to be kind to one another. If we have more than enough, we're to share it with one another. We are to be content with what we have and not grasp and strive to get more at the expense of others. We are to be honest. We are to care for our neighbors. And in doing that, we nurture that hope. We nurture that covenant with God. We listen to God's call for us to come home. And we may just very well find that in that, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because we become aware that God is with us and God has not given up on us, and that we are still moving towards that future in which all of creation is redeemed in which we will all have drunk from the wells of salvation. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and of God's promises for the world, that we may be able to rejoice. Amen.